here with Dr. David Goetsch. David is the author of Taking Your Faith to Work, How Christians Can Succeed in Secular Careers. David, welcome to Kuiperian Commentary.
Good to be here.
David, one of the things you address right from the start of your book is this sacred, secular dichotomy. If you will explain, first of all, what is that dichotomy and how does that dichotomy affect our view of work as Christians?
Well, what I was after with this book is there are a lot of Christians who feel like if they are not on the mission field or in the pulpit, they're just not quite fully doing their job for God. And my point has been, not that we don't have too many pastors, you can't have too many, but you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a missionary to be a solid Christian. In fact, God needs more lawyers, more doctors, more engineers, more welders, more mechanics who are Christians and who will live out that Christianity in the workplace, because some of the best discipleship is going to happen among those who are unchurched. Mm-hmm. And in the workplace, you're going to find a lot of unchurched people. Mm-hmm. So that was part of where I was coming from. The other part was we have Christians who are afraid to live out their Christianity on the job for fear that it might harm them in some way, career-wise. And so they hide it under a basket. And that's no way to be, because if you watch modern culture and watch movies and television, so you would think that the way that you get to the top in the corporate world is by cheating, lying, scheming, plotting, and all these things. And that makes for good television, perhaps. But the truth is, the way you get to the top in the corporate world is by applying Christian principles over the long term. Mm-hmm. Because those who cheat, lie, and scheme to get to the top usually get knocked off before they get there. Mm-hmm. It catches up with them. It may take a little longer to get there the Christian way, but when you get there, you'll be able to stay.
Right, right. You've been an educator now for several decades. What has changed? If you give me a couple of examples, what has changed from the early days of your career as an academic, as someone involved in the business world, dealing with ethics? What has changed from your early career to the modern academic environment as you see it?
Well, when I first started work full-time would have been 1968. And I had worked part-time in high school and all that, but 1968. And when I first went to work and started college, there was actually an assumption of Christianity. You didn't have to back up or apologize to your Christian. I mean, people assume Christian values. But it was 1968, the year I started, when all of that started changing also, because you had all the uproar here, the hippie movement, the anti-war movement, all that kind of stuff in 1968 started. That was one of the worst years in America's history. You had Martin Luther King killed. You had Bobby Kennedy killed. You had the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. It was a very uproarious. You had all the burning of Watts and Harlem and all the, and looting and so forth. So it began to change. When I first started college, you could openly talk about Christian principles, values, and you could write papers and make speeches from that perspective. And by the time I graduated the last time, now I understand I stayed in school for 30 years, so I'm seriously overeducated, but I stayed in school for a long time, the assumption had flipped. And where higher education is now is that it is anti-Christian in its makeup, in its assumptions, and it's very much more of a propaganda and indoctrination type of thing for anti-Christian, anti-Western values than it's ever been. It's getting worse. In fact, I wrote a book after this one called Liberal Tyranny in Higher Education that documents the troubles that Christian students go through and how Christians have been denied degrees because they wrote graduate theses on Christian principles and so forth and so on. So the world is turned upside down in higher education, and I call, I've worked in higher education for 40 years now, still teach, but I teach business classes, so it gets to be less of a of an issue, but business professors tend to be conservative just by virtue of they're from business. But, I was really a duck out of water, and to be perfectly frank with you, I succeeded, though, in that environment, which I considered a hostile environment, by applying the principles here. That's where I got them, taking your faith to work.
Is it a lot more difficult for the Christian to succeed today in the business world than it was when you first started?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Except, here's the thing. The principles of success have not changed.
Okay.
But a lot of times, succeeding in the workplace is being a part of the good old boys network, being one of the guys that the boss invites over to the house for barbecue and all that kind of stuff. And Christians who are outwardly evangelical on the job might get left out of that kind of thing if they have a boss who's is not Christian and is thinking so forth. But my point in here, in this book, is this. That is not what we need Christians to do on the job in the first place. What we need Christians to do is what Martin Luther said they should do. Mm-hmm. If you really want to do well, then rather than handing out tracts during the work hour, if you're a cobbler, be the best cobbler. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're an engineer, be the best engineer. So I call it evangelism by example. You set an example of always getting the job done right, on time, and within budget, and they'll love you. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or what you are, because of the competitive nature of the workplace, the principles of success have never changed. Mm-hmm. And those principles are all based very firmly in Christian values.
What you're saying sounds very Hebraic, sounds very biblical in nature, and it is hard to imagine why someone would not embrace that point of view, but I've been around a little while to realize that for the evangelical world, that is actually a very strange concept, applying Christian principles to the workplace. Why do you think that still is an issue in the evangelical ethos?
I just think we have to, and I hear from them all the time. People will read this book, they'll contact me, and I've spoken at different places. People always stop me afterward and say, the people who do well at where I work are people who cheat and lie on their expense account and do this and do that. And I always tell them that, it may look like that now, but you need to understand the end of that story hasn't been written yet. Mm-hmm. And I tell in this book story after story of the two twins. Mm-hmm. I knew these two people. I changed the name of the book, but I actually went to school with these two people. They were twins, equally brilliant, equally motivated, went to the same college, majored in the same thing, both went into banking. One of them just blasted to the top in a short time. The other one made good, steady progress, but he didn't blast to the top. Well, the one that blasted to the top one day, his brother opens the morning newspaper and sees his twin being led away in handcuffs. And it turns out that he blasted to the top by cheating, by fraud, by lying, and things. And and I say in here, if this were a story by Disney, then the good brother would have gotten the other brother's job and fixed everything, and that's not the way it worked.
Right.
The good brother just continued to slowly work his way up the ladder, but on every step, he was solidly there because he got there the right way.
Mm-hmm. Kuiperian Press is very grateful to be able to republish this great work, and it was first published by American Vision, and it's sold out, and we're glad to be able to make it available via Kindle format. David, why did you feel this urge to write this book? It has a very practical feel to it, and I have an idea what your answer will be, but why did you write this book? What was the genesis of it?
Well, for years, I would be in higher education, I would be the, quote, designated Christian, asked to pray, and so forth and so on. And every time I would do that, I would have people come up to me and whisper behind their hand, I'm a Christian too, but I just don't feel comfortable letting anybody know. Uh-huh. And here I am at the top of the organization, and they're down here. And I told them, I said, how I got to the top of this organization? By applying these principles. And I said, here's a benefit of applying these Christian principles. People may not like them, but when you're the boss, it doesn't matter. When you decide if they get tenure, when you decide if they get a raise, guess what? They get much more open to your Christian principles.
Yeah.
And so I said, I need to write this down. I need to write it down.
That's great. The last chapter was, I think, the most thought-provoking to me, because you deal with the issue of temptation in the workplace. I'm a minister of the gospel, and one of the things we hear very often is the fallen pastor phenomenon. Very common, people that are very well respected in the Christian community. Pastors who, from your perspective, from our perspective, had everything going for them. Young, ambitious, very charismatic, speaking in conferences, writing famous and popular New York Times best-selling books. And then the next thing we hear is they're fallen from their position, perhaps due to adultery or another ethical matter. The question of temptation is something that can leave a very negative reaction in the workplace. And I think Christians over the years have left a very poor example of their Christianity in the workplace. How do we begin, David, and just bring out maybe a couple of ideas or principles, how do we begin to think about temptation in the workplace as Christians?
Well, and that is the most difficult thing. I did not in this chapter put some of the examples in I could have used, because even changing the names, the fact that I wrote it, the people would have known who they were. Because I have seen this countless times. I can't even tell you how many times. But the whole key to standing up to temptation is to remember humility. Mm-hmm. Christian humility. You know, power, if you watch what brings us down, it will be adultery, sex, mm-hmm. power, or money, or drugs. Mm-hmm. Those four things are who gets people. And any time that a Christian feels himself being pulled in that direction, he needs to understand he's fallen into worshiping the wrong thing. Mm. You know, we worship Christ. We don't worship power. We don't worship our ego-inflating things. And so Christians need to do just like Christ did in the wilderness. You got to step back and say no. My answer in here, if you remember, was the same thing that Nancy Reagan said. Just say no. Just say no. Yeah. But you know who you're saying no to? And this is what Christians in the workplace need to understand. You're not saying no to the woman who might entice you. You're not saying no to the guy who wants to slip you a bribe. Mm. You're not saying no to somebody who might want to get you onto drugs. You are saying no to your own sinful nature. Mm. And if you remember that, you can stiff-arm temptation. Mm-hmm. The key is not to get down on yourself if you feel drawn by temptation, because we all do. You don't need to get down on yourself until you give into it.
Right.
You need to stiff-arm it and do what Nancy Reagan said. Just say no.
Yeah.
And it's hard. We have a sinful nature, and it's hard to do. That's why I made it the last chapter. Mm-hmm. But it's critical. I mean, yeah. It's the critical thing. If you're going to climb the ladder, don't let yourself get knocked off of it.
This book will be available very shortly, and I'm hoping you will spread the word on social media, Facebook, Twitter, wherever possible. It is a very helpful, very applicable, very accessible work filled with rich principles and applications from a Christian perspective. David, just a final question for you. Who is this book addressed to? Who should read it?
The book is addressed primarily to Christians who work outside of what we call, quote, Christian occupations. They're mm-hmm. not in the ministry. They're not on the mission field. They don't work for a Christian not-for-profit. They are out there in the everyday work world, being welders, being auto mechanics, being engineers, being scientists, professors, anybody who's working out there where others need to see God's Word in their example. Mm-hmm.
Dr. David Goetsch is the author of Taking Your Faith to Work, How Christians Can Succeed in Secular Careers. David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.